This is a preview of our discussion about Andrew Yang's UBI plan from our Andrew Yang episode, available now on the Patreon.
And honestly, I think that that's a good segue into the next major part, and it's part of his answer to this coming automation crisis, as he describes it, the freedom dividend.
I think it's the main part of his answer.
Right. So here is an answer that we all watched him give on a one of the debates. This is a very succinct, quick foray
okay, so
by
here
him.
Here is Democratic candidate Andrew Yang explains how his plan for universal basic income would,
right.
Mr. Yang, your signature policy work, is to give every adult
video.
In the United States,
yeah,
$1,000
right.
a month, no questions asked.
That's right.
Come on, give it to me.
I think that's like $3.2 trillion a year. How would you do that?
Sorry?
How would you do that?
Oh, so it's difficult to do if you have companies like Amazon, trillion-dollar tech companies, paying literally zero in taxes while they're closing 30% of our stores. Now, we need to put the American people in position to benefit from all these innovations in other parts of the economy. And if we had a value-added tax at even half the European level, it would generate over $800 billion in new revenue, which combined with the money in our hands, it would be the trickle-up economy from our people, families, and communities up. We would spend the money and it would circulate through our regional economies and neighborhoods, creating millions of jobs, making our families stronger and healthier. We'd save money on things like incarceration, homelessness services, emergency room health care, and just the value gains from having a stronger, healthier, mentally healthier population would increase GDP by $700 billion. This is the move that we have to make, particularly as technology is now automating away millions of American jobs. It's why Donald Trump is our president today, that we automated away 4 million manufacturing jobs in Michigan, Ohio, and Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. And we're about to do the same thing to millions of retail jobs, call center jobs, fast food jobs, truck driving jobs, and
so,
on and on through the economy. Sorry,
if I get you understand a little bit better, so you're saying $1,000 a month for everyone over 18, but a value-added tax, so you can spend that $1,000 on value-added tax?
Well, the value-added tax would end up, you'd still be increasing the buying power of the bottom 94% of Americans. You have to spend a lot of money for a mild value-added tax to eat up $12,000 a year per individual. So for the average family with two or three adults, it'd be $24,000 to $36,000 a year.
Okay,
so.
Right. So value-added tax, Scotty, well, you probably understand that better than anybody. You might want to explain
well,
that.
Well, the value-added, well, if you're in Europe, you already know what it is. It's a tax on goods and services.
Right.
We actually, as having a Patreon channel, we actually pay a value-added tax in those other countries listed, like the European Union countries, like the UK.
Right.
We already pay that. They do it for us. Luckily, if they were dependent on us to do it, it probably wouldn't get paid.
Yeah.
We're a bunch of fucking morons. But Andrew Yang's plan, it's a 10% value-added tax.
Right.
In addition to that.
So that means that, so to eat up the value of, like, so let's say I'm like, oh shit, well, you give me $1,000 a month, but I gotta fucking pay this value-added tax. I'd
on
have to
some
spend,
things.
Yeah, on not on everything, because he said, like, groceries and shit like that's exempt, but I'd have to spend, like, $120,000 a year to get to that point where I was, like, literally just eating it up. So that's that most people are not even going to come anywhere near that.
That wasn't his full plan either. That was a succinct answer, obviously,
right,
for the debate.
Right.
There's also a financial tax he's floated, and also a carbon tax.
Yeah. And I know he's also said that, and this is the part that kind of is weird to me, and I think weirds a lot of people out, is another way he's going to help pay for it is, like, a lot of people who are on, like, some form of government assistance
welfare
now would be given, like, a choice. Like, okay, you can keep your government assistance, and you don't get the UBI, or you could take the UBI and you don't get
so
the government
So just basically
assistance.
Anybody who's getting more than $1,000 a month is just going to stay on the old shitty system?
Right. So that's kind of a weird one. I don't really understand, and it doesn't really make sense to me. Like,
if you have disability or something, let's say, so you get $1,200 a month.
Yeah, you're not going to switch to Yang's
right.
system at that point. But I mean, like, that person has why should that person having a disability disqualify them for the UBI?
Or
if
they have Social Security or something, let's
right.
say.
Right.
I think that should be treated completely separately, but maybe it's not possible to pay for it that way. I don't know.
So what bothers me about his kind of talking about the UBI is not necessarily the idea of the value-added tax, which really is just passing the expense of the UBI on to the consumer.
And I don't, as there's no, how is it an expense?
And he, well, You're
going to pay 10% more.
Right. You're going to pay 10% more on certain goods and services, but you're getting that $1,000 a month. But there's no way. You'd have to spend $120,000 on those.
I get it. I'm not saying
it's
that
it's a net positive for you still.
Right. I know that.
Okay.
Here's the problem.
Right.
He started this talk by talking about giant corporations that pay an effective zero tax rate.
Right.
This doesn't change that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So any increase in tax that the corporations incur due to having to pay value added tax on something they need to build their widget,
yeah,
is going to be passed along to the consumer in the form of higher prices.
Right. So his,
and
basically
the
what
big
you're
looming
is the,
problem over this, the fact that corporate America is not paying its fair share,
that people are still on the hook.
So you feel like it was a total red herring when he threw out the Amazon paying 0%.
Yeah, it just feels that way because I haven't heard any rhetoric out of him, and maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah.
About closing tax loopholes or increasing the tax burden on the upper fucking classes. He seems very friendly to the corporations
in that way. Yeah, I don't think
the corporations will be happy for this value-added tax to happen.
I think he even really represents it that way because I remember one of the selling points he was talking about on Joe Rogan is like, you know, I want to convince these big businesses that they're going to like this because it's going to, as the consumers have all this money, they're going to spend more, they're going to work more.
Which is true.
All this stuff. And by the way, you know, Alaska is one of the analogous things that's brought up because people there get a dividend based on oil and mineral rights in Alaska.
Right.
And, you know, and it's been shown that obviously it's not the same as getting $1,000 a month. But when those people get that, they actually work more because consumer demand increases. People have more money. They want to spend it. So, you know, it employs more people and stuff like
more
that.
More gas stations.
So it needs, you know, people in the service industry. Now, a lot of those jobs, of course, can be automated away eventually, but it's not going to
all
happen.
His idea is if you give people more money, they're obviously going to spend
more. They're
going to
spend it.
So greater economic activity.
Which is, of course, the corporations should love that shit because this is basically just saying, like, hey, our consumer culture is kind of flagging a little bit here.
Right.
Because there's not enough money. The money's too focused in one place. So we got to get more money pumping through this fucking economy. More people buying TVs, more people fucking. It's really, I mean, like, it's a redistribution of wealth in a way, but I think that he's kind of counting on the people who get that money giving it right back.
Well, yeah, of course.
Which is exactly what they will do.
Right. Which, yeah.
You put $1,000 in the hand of the people that need it.
I'm going to buy me a new TV.
Right,
you know?
They're going to go get TVs. They're going to buy things.
They're going to go buy a nice dinner.
That's why this
some will save it.
This whole idea is kind of masked as this big giveaway.
Yeah.
Which it is. I mean, it would be a significant change in a lot of people's lives.
I mean, I can tell you this.
But ultimately, the tab is being paid by the very people it benefits.
Mm-hmm.
And the corporate kind of fucking structure that overarches all of it really doesn't have to pick up the tab
there,
at all.
There is a bit of a progressive nature of the tax because, I mean, the people who are going to be spending the most, the people who are really going to be spending the big bucks that generate, you know, most of this money are going to be at the top because they're just buying more shit. You know? Corporations, I mean, I'm assuming that, the value-added tax, there's not going to be exemptions for corporate entities and shit like that. So.
Right, but they're going to pass those expenses on with price hikes on the consumer. And as Andrew Yang pointed out in his answer, we have ever fewer outlets to go to.
Right.
To compete
there's
for those
many,
prices.
There's so many monopolies.
So the idea is that they get to set the price. They get to pass on any tax burden that they may incur so they can stay at their effective 0% rate right back to the consumers that are now flush with money.
But they're going to have to also make sure their prices are low because they're all going to be competing for that new money that the consumer
has been pumped
into the consumer
market.
Not for long,
as Andrew Yang just described. More and more, this zero effective tax rate is put, like Amazon is closing stores.
Yeah.
So
mom-and-pop businesses can't crop up anymore because they can't do what Amazon does.
So what's interesting here is that I'm on his actual website. It says, as president, I will propose a 0.1% financial transaction tax that would raise as much as $50 billion per year that will be used to help fund the universal basic income. So we talked about that in the value-added tax.
Right.
And is that carbon tax going to make up? I mean, it seems like it's really hard to get to that $3.2 trillion.
Well, there is a lot of articles that I found. I didn't pull one because I thought we could just discuss it. About how Yang's math, when he talks about this, doesn't quite add up.
It doesn't seem to.
The value-added tax that he proposes, people have looked at it and estimated that it would generate something like $898 billion worth of revenue.
Which is a lot of revenue, sure.
Which is a lot of revenue, but that falls well short of the $3.2 trillion or so that he would need everybody $1,000 a month.
What's even saying, you know, you save another $200 or $300 billion or $500 billion from welfare and other programs for people not electing not to take those. I mean, even still, then you're still at $1.3 trillion
I mean, he just said he'd generate another $50 billion with his 0.01% financial transaction tax.
Carbon tax.
That makes it more like $900 billion versus $3.3 trillion. Yeah. So,
I feel like if there is a way to possibly make it happen, then it could happen. I don't know that it's unfeasible.
No, it could happen. I just think that it's unfeasible it's not based on a progressive tax on the upper fucking echelons of society and corporations.
I think it
kind of
has that
money.
I feel like that kind of has that de facto built into it. But here's the thing that here's an attack against Yang's shit that I kind of tried to make to some people at one point, but I don't think people really understood what I was saying. And let's see if you guys agree with this. Like, if he gets elected, or even just gets popular with this, and eventually we get this UBI going.
Okay.
Like, are we going to reach a point where, you know, we just constantly have candidates trying to figure out some way to get this UBI higher and higher, and people start making these outrageous promises of, like, everyone's going to get this much. No, everyone's going to get this much. Like, when does it become, like, our elections become a, like, highest bidder kind of thing?
I think it'll be more like what I've seen in the past here in America, kind of what happened to Obamacare. It'll pass in the Yang presidency, possibly, or whichever president gets it passed. It'll pass, and it'll constantly be under attack, like Social Security or Medicaid benefits. Or
I'd imagine
drug
it'd be
pricing.
A really difficult fucking thing to get out once
you've
got it.
And
in.
Even if, and even
I don't think you'll be able to fucking like.
Well, that's why they'd be.
They'll
so
just start borrowing against it, like they do with the Medicare fund. Well, it'll just be eaten away slowly but surely by the social rot that can't let a pile of money sit for a rainy day.
Another thing I'm wondering about Yang's thing, and maybe he's answered this before. Maybe you encountered it. I haven't really seen him talk about it. Like, would his UBI be tied to inflation, or is it just flat $1,000?
I haven't heard that.
I haven't heard anything about it.
I didn't hear anything about it either. He seems to be going with the simple kind of thing when he talks publicly about it, and just emphasizing the
$1,000
a month.
If we do a thing of $1,000 a month, you know, in 20 or 30 years, that might not be jack shit. That might be the equivalent of getting like $100 a month or something.
With inflation, the amount would have to rise.
Right. So, I mean, like, you're going to... I don't know. I feel like you're asking for trouble if you even if you can make the math work, you're asking for trouble if you don't
tie this
thing to
fucking inflation. Think about the people that... take the money and go to a casino, TJ. Think about the people take the money and go buy drugs. Think about, so there's going to be a lot of, even if that did happen, there's going to be a negative perception. There's going to be a media focus on things like that.
Which is why I think it's going to come under attack by the opposing party.
I really
and
don't.
Why also, it's going to be eroded away, and the right is going to be, you know, slowly but surely eroded
and
away
gonna
until it disappears.
It's going to give a bunch of leeches money. It's going to give a bunch of lazy people money.
I mean, the problem is that I think there's just too many people who are going to be like, do I want to give up that $1,000 a month? And they're going to be
if it was instituted, then it'd be fucking almost impossible to get.
That's what I'm saying. If you actually had it, if it was actually the institution of this country, I don't think you'll ever get rid of it.
And to have a program like this,
unless it just becomes totally unfeasible.
Well, also, how about rich people getting the money?
They get it too. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. So that's another point.
I mean, to them, it ain't shit.
I mean, of course, but
I mean, that's what they said about Social Security too. Yeah. Once it's instituted, it's like an institution forever. There's no way you can
take
that.
Look what happens every time someone tries.
It's
going to
happen
to it.
Like, it's set to run out.
Right.
It's not going to be funded in the future, and there's going to be a whole generation of people that don't have that safety net.
Or
it's
have just, a lot less of it.
It's on the fucking wall at this point. I think the same thing happens here. It just erodes. It doesn't move progressively with inflation. It doesn't move with the cost of living, and slowly but surely $1,000 don't mean shit.
Right. And I mean, I'll tell you this, though. I mean, about the Social Security thing, like, I've heard... I mean, pretty much the entire time I've been alive, I've heard it oscillate between, okay, it's stable now. Oh, shit, it's fucked. Oh, okay, it's stable. Okay, shit, it's fucked. So, I mean,
The truth is the government continuously borrows against it and uses that revenue to pay debts elsewhere. It's just constantly under assault because it's put into other legislation as little slivers of pork barrel spending.
Right.
You know, oh, by the way, we're going to borrow from the Social Security Fund.
You feel like they've basically just eaten all these, like, Swiss cheese holes.
Absolutely.
And it's
really been that way. It's been completely like that the whole time they've been telling you it's stable and unstable.
It's well documented. That's occurring.
So I thought we'd take a little break from policy for a second. We'll get back to it.